You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, good evening. I should give you the number of the first hour because I think it was so important with that little Jackson 8-year-old who talked to himself and called me up to help him out. And I think his problem is all gone now. You'll see. There's not so much in the way as you who have lived a long time to have lots of stuff in the way. But still, it could be just as magic as a flash of light. You can be better. Or it could be gradually. Of course, gradually getting better is a journey where you have to encounter various trials and tribulations. And all of these, well done, is called becoming perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what it is. You don't get perfect right away, but every moment has to become perfect. So perfection makes you, being perfect for that moment is all it needs. Because the next moment that's going to trip you up and hurt you is coming. Or the next kind thing to do, which is effortless and doesn't want anything back in return, just how else would I do it? That will be happening too. I'm being gracious, so to speak, without feeling important about it. And all this is possible for you, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you this, you are so addicted to your selfish self. For instance, how difficult it is to give up eating drugs. You're addicted. You have to understand what addiction is, and in a few minutes I will show you, I'll explain to you that anything that gives you excessive pleasure or cause it to give you excessive pleasure will begin to kill you. And it becomes an addiction. So at one point, at every point, you can overcome it. But it gets worse. If you don't overcome it and don't know how to overcome it, but think of yourself, you can do it and save yourself from yourself, you will see that it's not possible. There's not a doctor on earth that can save you from what we're talking about. There's not a preacher I know that knows you how to do that. There's just maybe a few. And they don't know what they have. The difference between, I think, with people, preachers who have this or people who have this gift is it's just as sound as what I'm doing. So there are people that can do this, but they don't know how to share it. They don't know the fine details that is needed, which they lack. But welcome. However, there's lots of people listening to me right now, either on the far left, far right, pseudo-Christians, pseudo, not real ones. They think they are. People think they're Christians. They just drive their kids to crazy or to making them into one of them. That's not good. And then on the left is the destroyer, equally the destroyer of innocence. The hateful of innocence is everywhere. It's the last place you would think to find the hatred of innocence in America. That's what's wrong with you. Half of you are that way. And not, perhaps, possibly not redeemable. Now you immediately, if you heard me say that, you said, it must be me. Now that's not you talking. That's the dark side of you talking. So, get it. The very fact that I said that shocked you for a minute. I knew what would enter your mind if you're one of those people that's listening. And it immediately will give you some doubt that I would be able to help you or you could be ever helped. You're so bad. That's what it makes you think. so you have to fix yourself. No, you don't. God will fix you. And that you may have heard that by other preachers or so, but I'm different. I'm not the same. I go about my business differently. I'll be talking to Keith in just a minute because we're just coming to a break. And then I'll start the program with explaining what... ask Keith if he can hold the hold for about 3 or 4 minutes.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, hello again. I want to give you a sequelity, I think that's the word, of what is addiction. Yes. It has another name. Debility, dependability, and dread. Listen carefully. If you look forward to what you think you want, it always turns into, intensifies, something called anxiety. Whether you achieve your goals or not, all your goals are dead ends. All the goals you think is yours. But it's coming from another place. It comes from a good place or a bad place. And from a good place, it's a good story. And from a bad place, everything goes wrong. And the more you try to fix it, the worse it becomes. Peace of mind is never around the next corner because your carnal choices always lead away from the true answer. Always. Your egocentric choices cause the pain you are trying to cure. By effort. And an enlightened state of anxiety, a heightened state of anxiety, the kind that anticipates the job viewer as though they were bullies, has the same effect as terrorism. So whatever anxiety you have, whatever insecurity you've got, you become so sensitive that you begin to be unsure of yourself, doubt yourself, and you resent it. And so when you apply for a position, your reaction to the outcome of that is negative, and you begin to hate the person who's going to interview you, and you don't go, or you lose out. See, anticipation in the extreme, even in the positive experience, such as looking forward to a vacation, can also be exploitable and cause anxiety. Apparent cures may come through assortment of delights like food, drugs, and medications. But these only backfire and make everything worse, and compound into more terrible diseases and awful relations where cries of help makes things much worse. There's no way except the right way. Any bully can soothe the way of the pain they inflict through the relief of their acceptance. When a person bullies you into acceptance, into bullying you into you giving in, there's a certain pleasure. I see. And so then comes the anxiety for both of you. The person who has infected you with doubt, he's guilty. You're allowing that infection causes you to be guilty. But neither one of you are really guilty because you've inherited it. So the person who is a bully was not always a bully. They are not born a bully, are you? So something caused you to be a bully, passed it on. And so the bully, if you take the identity of the person you hated, your parent, your mother, your father, it could be a little brother, then you can. Then you have the problem of doing unto others what was done unto you. And you can take one of two stands. You can give in to the bully and other bullies, say, all take pieces of you to make you give off something of yourself. That becomes your story and your lot. And so there's two possibilities. Neither one can you escape. The only way you can escape is pleasure. And then you become addicted to the pleasure. And it doesn't matter what it was, but whatever it is that causes you to become upset and disconnected from reality, that's what upset does, whether you like it or not. There's always anxiety, there's always fears, there's always things to suppress. So I got a clue many years ago to something pleasure-centered. It's called food. But everything that's pleasure-centered will keep you dying, increase your anxiety, and increasing your addiction. So I got the clue to it so I can explain it this way. And I will show you how semi-innocent, sort of pseudo-innocence, how it can be is dangerous. So I had dinner. I was invited to dinner to a Japanese restaurant. See? And so the menu consisted of 10 servings of little, as I call them, little birdie dollops on 10 different plates. That could fit, all the food on that could have fit in my hollow tooth. So I called the maitre d', and I said, why don't you put all these delights on one or two plates? And he says that in Japan, the custom of looking forward to something is better than having it. Wow, did I understand that? Did you understand that? The power, the custom of looking forward to something is a distraction from what went wrong. The hope that the next thing will give you pleasure. Even if you do the same wrong thing over and over again, believing that if you did it long enough, you'd be better. No, you become addicted to everything. See? So what he's saying in culture, you keep the culture alive. When it was, you know, different from what it is today. It used to be a very dangerous culture. It's a better one now, of course. We won the war. But you see, even courtesies like that, even courtesies, behaviors, can be hypnotic. So the little delicacies of graciousness, such as having tea and doing things in a special way and making the tea in a different way, etc., etc., can become addictive and make you Japanese, and Japanese in a wrong way. And this, see, you, even this, what seems to be so so simple, so innocent, can be caused guilty to play act that out. Because there isn't real love. It is something that hides behind graciousness, a gracious behavior. And that's also in people. And it's in everything. Because whatever it is that you choose to make you feel better, it could be drugs, it could be music, it could be food, it could be stamp collecting. But once it gives you a pleasure, it takes you away from the pain of your guilt. And that's an addiction. So everything is an addiction. Everything is an addiction that way. Is there any questions about this? Because I can go on for hours. So, we will take our first call of the evening. I think I've said enough for you to argue with me, disagree with me. I'm happy to have someone to do that. But in the 55 years, and this is my 56th year, I haven't had anybody, I haven't had the pleasure of fighting them. Except on certain occasions, of course, when I was younger. And I can tell you some very interesting stories if things get boring here in the program. I got lots of calls, I know that. I'm just sort of playing a little bit. I don't have to jump to the calls right away. I just had to do my thing. All right, now, we're going to go to Keith in New York City. Hello, Keith. Oh, he's lost. Give me the other fellow. Is it Kenny?
You're right, yeah.
Hello, Kenny.
Keith.
Is it Keith?
Keith, K-E-I-T-H.
But you're back away from your phone. You're too hot.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's still bad. It's a bad one. Bad phone, yeah. David's bad. I can't hear him. Yeah, to ask him to go. Ask him to. All right. Oh, no, okay. Kenny, are you there?
Here, Mr. Roy.
How are you doing, old boy?
I'm okay. Let me get off the speaker. Okay. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just, I was bugging out about people out a lot. Now, excuse me, I'm dealing with the backlash today, you know, because a lot of people...
Come closer to the phone. Ask him to come closer.
All right, let me see. Maybe too low.
That's better.
Hold on.
Now start again.
I turned it up. Is that better?
Good. That's good. Now you start again.
Yeah, well, I'm dealing with a lot of backlash from when I used to curse people out because I used to drink a lot.
Yes.
And when I'm drunk, I'm a happy drunk. You know, some people get drunk and they want to fight everybody.
Yeah.
But when I'm drunk, I just want to share, you know, laugh and
well,
joke.
Well, it's typical. You've got two kinds of drunks, a happy one and a miserable. But happy because you've forgotten your guilt.
Because of what?
You're happy, but you have a happiness because you forgot all your guilt when you drink, when you're drunk.
Yeah.
That's it.
Anesthetize the pain.
That's right.
Yeah, but then, and here's what I did. When I would speak to people and they wouldn't speak back, I used to flip the script and get angry. First I was drunk.
Well, the thing is, you're not communicating with me with intelligence.
Say it again?
You're not communicating intelligently.
Right, right.
I see it. I mean, I don't know even, I'm stuck even to understand it. It's something between you and me right now is in the way of me asking you questions. I can't cure you. I can't help you unless you open up. So let me ask the question.
Sure.
One of the questions I always ask is, who do you hate the most?
I don't hate anybody.
No, that's not true. You just told me you get angry, you get drunk and you get angry.
Right, but I don't hate
you. You had to get angry to get drunk, because if you weren't angry, you wouldn't need to drink.
Okay.
Then you forget how angry you are, And then all of a sudden you feel so good. You think of alcohol as a blessing and a savior.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really upside down, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense. But it makes sense because you're sensuous. And you're living by sensuousness. And you can do it both ways. You can feel better by hurting somebody and making them worse than you are. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you can get upset and hurt by somebody else and then drink your guilt away for a little while. But the point is, that is the game. But he never said he hasn't. He never said that. And okay, well, let's come together. The David says you haven't drunk for 6 years, but you opened
right.
up with the fact that you did. So I followed that thought, but it was not clear to me, and that's what I was saying. It wasn't clear.
Well, what do you need me to explain?
What did you need to do is to tell me what's wrong with you now.
Oh, what's wrong with me now?
Not what's wrong with you 6 years ago.
I'm catching the backlash from when I used to do that. Now a lot of women...
Now, what does that mean, you're catching a backlash when you used to do that? I get it.
Excuse me, a lot of women want to get even with me for what I did back then.
Well, so if
they're holding on all that... they're holding on all that pain and hurt to get even with me, you know, because the reason why I used to get upset with them is because I know the situation out here. It's black men are either dead, in jail, gay, or with white women.
And then,
you know,
listen,
and they wouldn't give me the time of day.
I have to say this.
Really,
hold on, hold on. I don't think I can help you. Sorry.
Why?
I don't know. You're just rambling. You know, I can't help you. I'll just continue with my program. 800-866-8883. I wish that man could be like that little boy. Say, this is my problem. I'm not giving me a lot of stories going here and there. We've done better than this on this program. If you have a problem, you see, I find, in my experience, I find that people like to listen, but they don't want to call me. And the person who has the courage to express themselves, because we're not asking you, I'm not asking you to declare all the dirty things you did in your life. I'm not asking you for that. It's not necessary. If you confess to me, it wouldn't be a cure. It's deeper than that. See, it has to do with, well, maybe I should, since there's a lot of people listening that are brand new and listening to me for the first time, I just want to say this: you weren't born guilty. The way guilt, you're born innocent. Man born of woman is innocent. The girl child born of woman is innocent and has intuition as women have intuitions different from men. There's a big difference between the intuition of a woman, which is coming from the same place, to recognize the virtue, if there's such a thing, of the man, that she needs to have that little game called put the fruit down, Eve. See, that is what a woman's looking for, intuitively. But if she is broken, if she has a bad father, see, an angry father, or a bully mother, when the baby comes into the world, both female and male, they are entering into the culture, and you know what the culture is like today. The culture of America, when I came here 67 years ago, I think it's about that time, it is a completely disgusting country everywhere. There's good people in it. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of good people. bothered by this, not understanding how this came to be. But over the years, it came to be in little dollops, little bits and pieces. You know, a left-wing a left-wing president here or there, and then a good president, and then a semi-decent president, and then a worse one, and then a worse one, and then you got the one you got. And all hell's breaking loose. All right, now we'll take our call. I was about to be a little bit political, but I don't like to do that. Okay, now we're going to Kenneth. Is it the same Kenneth that just called a little while ago?
Okay. No, sir. This is Kenneth. I've called before.
Oh, hello, Kenneth.
This is a new one. Hi, Roy. I pray that body that you that the spirit inhabits will recover God's will, first of all.
I hope so.
My question is simple, which may lead to other things. How do we truly understand the mystery of remembering Christ Jesus when we eat and drink?
That's an interesting question. That's a very interesting question, but it really isn't. It shouldn't require any ritual. I don't think it really. I don't sit down and say, you know, and make prayers over what I eat. It's the way
I
eat.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes, all that is sort of like pantomime. It really doesn't do anything. It's a little embarrassing. When I go to somebody's house, I haven't been to somebody's house for many, many, many years, in a sense. But when I say, let us pray, and Lord, bless, you know, I can't do it. I just can't do it because it's so awkward to me.
Is it to remind us that part of the fall was through food?
Yes.
And
you're actually bringing me back to a point. I got. Have you been listening to this program for the whole hour, 2 hours?
No, sir, I haven't. But I've been listening to you for many years. Boy, I could give a plug for a lot of your books and everything and tapes. I used to record tapes when you were in Cincinnati.
Wow.
Record them, you know, and just listen to them. And the books that I have are many. And of course, you know, that's the letter. But your words lead to life. And I pick and I know, but I don't believe I've read anything that you've ever written that's not true, because you know something's true because it's believable.
That's right. And for one thing, it goes to another. So for one truth, then you see two truths. And with those two truths, getting tongue-tied, with those two or three or five or six truths that you see, it grows into the ability to see everything as necessary for your journey to paradise lost, to eternal life. But the question that you were bringing up, I wish I could recall what you were saying. I got off. What did you say? Just repeat some of the words you said, and I can pick up on it.
Okay. The
saying grace.
Well, no, it's really not saying grace. I know a lot of people do that.
Yes.
I don't feel comfortable
doing
that because Jesus said, "Remember me when you eat and drink." How do we properly remember him?
I can't forget him. You see, the funny part about it, I can't forget him. He's always there. So when I eat, I'm eating his. I'm eating because. Ask him. Yes, would you hold my friend here? Yes, this is a very interesting caller. we're going to have a very interesting discussion. I can see it coming. And I want Kenneth to hold me to it. Keep me to the subject of, you know, think of me when you eat. This is very, very good stuff. This is the kind of stuff I love to talk. Okay. So, but meanwhile, we need support. I do not ever get the support I need sufficiently. A lady left me $3 million one time, and I spent it all on doing the good stuff, doing all the good things. If I had $20 million, there wouldn't be any soldiers, veterans. They'll all be cured of post-traumatic stress disorder, every one of them. Well, maybe most of them. Some people get really, really angry, and hatefulness rules the roost. But most can be saved from this. And you all know this. And there's a number of people, not significant enough, but enough people who love others. That's not love for me when you send money. It's not for me. It's for me to share, to pass along what I did for that person. And you don't have to be rich. You just need $10 a month or $1 a month. I don't care what it is. So please consider that if you get help, it's because somebody paid it forward. That's all. That's all I need. Look, I'm in my 89th year. I have to think a little bit, you see, so that's how bad it is. But I love what I'm doing. I love helping people to love their creator. That's all. I have to be made of that stuff. And I believe that you can see that. But that's not to my credit. It's to my pleasure. It's so enjoyable to pass this on to other people. It's like the more I give, the more I've got to give. I can do this when I'm sick. And I'm not sick while I'm doing it. Although my voice sometimes is not good enough to be on the radio, I still would do it. But you wouldn't be able to hear me very good these last few weeks. So anyway, I'm doing the best I can. But please do the best you can, will you? And here's the address. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon. You see, I'm still English in some ways. Grants Pass, not Grants Pass. See? So Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And then you can send, you know, a check every month. I got the many ladies listen to me. Ladies love what I'm doing, believe it or not. You don't want to call me, you know, names about think I don't like women. You can look at it that way if you want to, but they understand me. They in me is the father they never had. It's changed their lives. Yes, they didn't have to marry me.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I have Kenneth on the line, and I think this is going to be an interesting discussion. And Kenneth, would you just go on, because people may have just joined, and make your points, and I will.
Yes, sir, I will.
Enjoy.
If it's possible. Sometimes I never know when you're giving a commercial or when you're on the air with me, but that's okay. We'll figure that out.
No, I'm on the air with you only.
Oh, if it's possible, could you, I don't know if it's possible, to ask David to turn up your audio a little bit outgoing so that I might hear you better?
We have that problem. We don't know what it is. And We haven't been able to find a person to fix it. It's some little thing somewhere. But I can. Oh. Is this better? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I suppose the closer you get is better. I'm listening intently.
Well, let's do the best we can.
Pardon?
Let's do the best we can, and let's go ahead with what you want to say.
Yes, sir. For the listeners just joining, I was asking how we truly remember Christ in the body, the man called Jesus, to truly remember him when we eat and drink. You know, I don't say, you know, thank you, grace, and this and that, but I mean, what is the mystery behind truly remembering Christ, the Spirit?
But it isn't what it sounds like. It's a very complicated simplicity. There's almost hardly any words for it. In other words, what if Jesus is inside me all the time, always showing me this and that, you know, and helping me and showing me how to deal with every problem that comes my way, shows me my weaknesses, everything. He's always there. I don't have to remember him. He keeps reminding me. Therefore, on the other side of it, I'm remembering him. You see, it depends on which way you look at it. And so I can sit down and never eat too much. Eat in the right way. And eating in the right way, eating food, and I was making, I opened the program an hour ago or so, an hour and a half ago, on the subject. There's something toxic, spiritually toxic, connected with food. And so, as gracious as you might be, every spoon, every fork that you put in your mouth, regardless of whether you're rich or poor, is tainted with original sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's tainted with it. It's like post-traumatic stress disorder going through all the generations.
Yep.
And so,
part of the Garden of Eden, language,
right.
Food, and sex.
So the food that you eat, even though you're a decent person, you must eat it in a special way. And the way you say it is appropriate for listeners, but deeper. It is that, what you said. But it isn't from the inside, from the outside. The inside looks different when I look out. And I'm looking out with his energy. And I'm not, there's nothing looking in with stress and temptation and all kinds of rigmarole and, you know, playing games and praying and over food. That doesn't work. It doesn't. It's nice. It's pleasant. But it doesn't do a thing. It's the wrong kind of remembering. In other words, he is with me all the time. I'm with him all the time. So I don't have to make a fuss or go through this silly game of praying over your meals. It's not going to work. It's nice, but not good. It's good, but it isn't pure enough. There's got to be a way of finding him, and you will find that secret if you understood this. Be still and know I am God and you ain't. So the curse on the food, the hypnotic fixation that every time you eat food, you are you're growing from a child into an adult and an adult into an older person. But the food is not the kind of food, or the food isn't programmed. There's another way of saying it. The food isn't programmed to create a non-corporeal body inside you to build. So every time I eat, and every time I do a good deed, every time I forgive someone for being cruel, so it doesn't bother me. It just bothers everybody else. But it goes with everything. It's not just food, but food is the key to liberation, because the curse lies in Adam eating the forbidden fruit or food. And he threw them out, and the first thing he found was a fig tree, and he didn't know what to do with the food. So he had to adapt a mortal body. And the food that you eat conserves a mortal body. And it will continue as if you have a decent life, but not the pure one yet. If you have a decent life, that food will do as it does for an animal. But when you eat in a different way, with a spirit involved inside you, guiding you, and causing you to eat with a curse taken off, because he's in you. If he's in you, the curse is gone. And therefore, you just eat what you need for your body, but your soul now begins to grow. Because he's in you, and your body now begins to be at the house of a form that is Jesus-like, that lives forever. Do you understand that?
I do understand that, because I even, in reading the, sometimes I forget if it's the Gospel of the Essenes or the Essene book there.
I don't take much notice of that.
I beg your pardon?
I don't take too much notice of all that stuff. It doesn't go anywhere. It just doesn't go anywhere. I don't know how much you read about it.
Yeah, it's just to know that our these are.
Well, let me just say something, but you hesitate for a second. You recognize where I'm coming from, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sure, you got it now. You have what I have. All I did is remind you. I'll give you another story. Are you absent-minded sometimes, like me? And you forget somebody's name? You forget somebody's name,
yeah,
right?
Don't be afraid to
No, but I make the point. So, you can't remember it, but somebody, your wife, or anybody, I say, what's that name? Who are you talking about? I can't tell you because I can't remember it. Is it this? Is it that? Is it Roy Master? Oh, yes, that's him. See, the reason is, it's there. And you've forgotten it. And so when you come to the world, you tend to forget it. But it's still there. And so, when you hear me, it's friendly. You can sense the there's a word for this. It's like a radio. It's a radio signal. It's like a radio signal. No, it's not good enough. I'm sorry about that. I can't find it. See, maybe you can help me with it. But it has to have a quality to it. It has to have. There's the words I'm missing. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sometimes I find trouble with the words myself, but in that...
The word is frequency. The word is frequency.
Pardon me?
The word is frequency.
Yes, AM or FM.
Okay.
I came to a realization that the Lord's Prayer, when it says, "Give us this day our needed bread," Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Yeah, of course.
Which means that this is the bread that we get every day is through searching the inner self from the bread of life.
Yeah, there's two kinds of bread, isn't there?
Spiritual bread, not physical bread.
Yes, but you need both.
Yeah, I know you need both.
So if you eat the non-spiritual bread, I mean, the ordinary bread that animals eat, and we are part animal, we have the same makeups in various ways, but there's something magic about us that's not in a monkey. And something is so that we're living in us in a right way and a wrong way. And when we're living in ourselves in a wrong way, we have anxieties. But when you find the truth that sets you free, when you find that, it isn't difficult to find. It took me, God knows, 84 years to discover what be still and know meant. And so that's why I have that little meditation. It's called Antidote for, you get it on the website, antidoteforall.com. It's a 7-minute meditation. That's what it is. That's all there is helping a person to be still and know, and I'll say something else, and not know why you know. But you know that, in other words, you don't know why you know it. You don't know how it works. All you know is you know what to do every single moment. And when you're walking down the street, when you're watching a TV show, you're not lost in anything. You're watching, looking, some physicist gives and some enlightenment about some discovery, and I see now that he doesn't know what he's doing. See, I can talk to scientists, and having experienced, shoot down what they think is the cause of the particle or this or that. I know the cause of things when I see it. I'm always looking for the cause, but the cause of everything in the universe is the cause inside me, showing me how he caused everything. And so each one of us has a different calling. Mine is what I'm doing with you, and in physics, I am also a theoretical physicist. I know what gravity is, and I know, and I know that the physicists will not look at me because I'd embarrass them.
Yeah,
you see, I made a big story here. The point is everywhere. I have everything I need in the moment.
Yeah, your book I remember reading one, that the people think that, the gravity is just the opposite of what people think it is.
They don't know what it is. They don't, at this point, they don't know whether it's a push or a pull. They said, it would be nice if it was a push. But I thought 35 years ago I've discovered that it was a push. I've got diagrams, yeah, I got scientific diagrams to prove it.
I remember that. You're saying it's not a pull, it's a push.
That's right. It doesn't suck. you can see it, can't you?
Oh my goodness!
Are we finished now? Because I think you have made my point.
Everything
I need is within me, and so every word, every thought. So I can walk. I just happy. I don't like the word happy because happiness is a feeling. I'm just aware and just glad to be alive and enjoying the flowers and the trees and doing my work and understanding how the universe was made and understanding how I can help you understand. That's what I'm made for, this and nothing more. And so there's a lot of everything happiness. I see is
there's laughter in your home. I remember you saying there's, you know, and you do little magic tricks and this and that.
Oh,
and
yes, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good magician. But you know what I said? You know what was beautiful about it is because it the people, when I do this, my sleight of hand, very professional, because during the war, as I was younger in the war, I eventually became, you know, was called to do my duty. But during a couple of years, I became, the bombs are coming down.
With Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Kenneth, are you done? Kenneth, are you still there, my friend?
Yes, I am.
We're getting to the end of the program. Any little things you want to...
Can I make one quick last thing for you?
Okay.
Just real quick. It'll take a minute.
Okay.
When I meditate... I don't want to say too much about some of your new listeners, but I've been at it a long time, and I know it's a journey. And when I am very still, even after meditation, sometimes even not after meditation, I can see, and like if I look at a clear blue sky, I can see, nothing wrong with my eyes, no floaters, no nothing like that, I can see particles of light dancing.
Yes.
All around the universe, all around within
okay.
me and without me.
That is a very good point. Ladies and gentlemen, all my listeners, please do something for me. Turn off the light. Or look into a dark corner where it's dark. And you will see little, you will see what appears to be little twinkles. Little dust, like when you lose the picture, when you lose the picture on your what is it? It is the loss of memory here for a second.
Television screen, like
yeah, the screen on your television screen, and when you don't have a picture, you have a lot of frying. You know. If you will look into a dark corner or close the door and put the light out, you will see that kind of thing that other people couldn't see. That you can see.
They're dancing. I talked to my optometrist and I said, many years ago, I said, I can look into a clear blue sky, my eyes wide open. And I can see joyfully, happily, dancing all around little particles of light.
That is exactly so. You use the good. You use some nice words. Maybe the dancing is a good word because it's. If you close your eyes, you can see it. But when you open your eyes in the dark, you can see the tiny little things moving around. It's like dust, very fine dust.
Yeah, just dancing all around.
That's right. Well, it's been nice talking to you.
Always, always nice. Always insightful. Certainly insightful. I know that I must continue my journey within.
That's right.
So that the light becomes stronger within me, that I can reach that which I think, I believe, is preordained for me to return to understand the difference between body and spirit and...
Your body is the house of the spirit.
Until yes.
It evolves until the nature of God grows inside you to leave for everlasting life.
My ego has been stubborn for many, many years because I had a terrible childhood. I understand why. It's passed down. But the buck has to stop somewhere, yes?
Yes, you just need to forgive your parents, for they know not what they did.
I know.
You saw what happened to Jesus when he put himself on the cross and didn't take the pain away. He suffered anguish and insults. Everything that you, the worst in everything that anybody ever experienced. And so, but he said something before he died. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That is correct. And if you see that it's not you doing all the wrong things, it's sin that's made a home in you. And when you understand the sin that makes a home in you, you begin not to be so down on yourself or down on other people. They cannot help it. And then you see yourself, you can't help it. But you're not angry when you see that. Oh, I see that. And then also, when you realize when the bad things that you did wasn't you doing it, it was you being programmed to do it.
That's what started me on my journey.
That's right. Isn't this a nice discussion?
Always. And you know, I wonder if, do I have to be around, that spirit is everywhere within the seeker. The evil that remains in me, call them demons or whatever, can I be delivered on that on my own? Well, I won't be on my own. Or do I need somebody that has a pure heart like you to deliver me from?
I'll do. Jesus spoke before the multitudes, didn't he?
Yes.
And he also talked to individuals.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what I do. I'm not out right now. It's not good for me to have seminars and have people come like he did because of the danger of ISIS. You know,
yes, I understand that.
And I don't want anything to happen to my friends. So
be around you to have these final demons exercised, or will
I tell you what you could
the good
do,
Lord
though.
Himself do it if I continue on the narrow path of enlightenment?
Pardon?
I'm just going to say
goodbye to him, but I want to say something because he just said that. Just quickly. If you come to my Sunday morning conversations, wherever you are, and you have this thing inside you, this thing, if you will come, it will be much easier for me to exercise it. So I do recommend people who have that to come to Tortimba Ranch on Sunday. You only have to be there for one day, and it goes away. Thank you for listening, everyone. Okay. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And the phone number of my office is 800-877-3227. And we only have one person there, so because there's not that many calls. You see, the entertainers get so much money for distracting you and giving them pleasure. And look, I help people to overcome things and find their way, and not too many support. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Truth is not popular anymore, even to good people. Have a good evening.